Heavenly Father, we worship you. Hallowed be your name. Truly, as we stand in your presence. Lord, only by your grace do we stand, not by human endeavor, not by our own wisdom. And so, Father, we beseech you to go into this service under the covering of our fathers in order, under the Lordship of Jesus. We ask you for fresh mercy. Mercy upon us, particularly for me, upon my heart, upon my lips. I need your mercy so that, Lord God, Lord, you will make my mouth like an oracle of God. Cause your word to flow like a stream of living water. Let it bring life and strength, encouragement and hope, and a determination, Father, to arise. So that, Father God, and when we have arisen, to keep running, Lord, and to fly in the clouds. So that, Lord, you will be able to take us from where we began to the expected end that you have ordained for us in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father, because, Lord, I ask, Lord, that the same unction and mercy upon my heart and upon my lips, let it be upon the heart and the ears of my brethren. So as they hear this word, Lord, it will be a word of life. Lord, it will come in wisdom, in power, in humility, in clarity, in the comfort and love of the Holy Spirit. And it will make us more like Jesus, more humble, with more revelation, Lord, and indeed with more of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So that, Father, we will stand even more complete in all of the will of God in the name of Jesus. Thank you for veils that are torn and removed. Thank you for blind eyes that are open. Strength that comes to our feet and our ankle bones. All under the covering of our fathers in the name of Jesus. So that truly, Father, you will raise us up to a higher level of obedience, a higher level of purity and victory in the name of Jesus. I ask for mercy to be concise and precise, to redeem the time, not say unnecessary things, and I'll be ascribing structures unto the kingdom, bringing forth out of the treasure of your word things new and old. Holy Spirit, I give you full sway. Lead us, Lord, by your unction. Help us to do all things well, to bring glory to Jesus' name and blessings to us, the sons of men. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. And I trust that this word will be a blessing to them in Jesus' name. The word that I bring is a very simple word. It's nothing new. Amen. But I say nothing new. Of course, there things are unfolding and seals are being opened. But many times we echo what our fathers have taught us, and God gives us light from a different perspective so we can be motivated to keep doing what God has asked us to do. So today, I also want to say welcome to our internet audience. I beg your pardon. Forgive me. We trust that as you listen to the word and share with us today, God will bless and increase you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to the word, and it's entitled, The Works and the Key of David. The Works and the Key of David. And I'm going to begin by reading from Revelation chapter 3, verses 7 to 12. If you can give it to me. Revelation chapter 3, from verse 7 to 12. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for covering. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write. Let's read it together. These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. Here God is introducing himself as holy, true, having the key of David is a specific introduction. Having the key of David, opening so that no man can shut, and shutting so that no man can open, is important for the Philadelphia church. It's important for the Philadelphia Christian, because as we know, these seven churches typify the seven different types of Christians that will exist on the face of the earth until the end of the church age. So we see that clearly. Next verse, verse 8. I know thy works. Now this is very familiar, because he said this to all the other churches. All the five before Philadelphia, I know thy works.
and the one after Philadelphia, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Next verse. Behold. So there are two beholds. There's one behold about the Philadelphia church. There's another revelation. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, so these are Christians, and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. Amen. Next verse. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation which shall come upon all the world to try all them that dwell upon the earth. Next verse. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. So your crown is in your hand, except you release it or relinquish it. Next verse. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of God, and he shall go no more out, and I'll write upon them the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from God, from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Now, what is God saying to us today? God is saying to us that the key of David opens the door. The key of David, we're going to see what that means. All right? So we see that today God is saying to us that this church that met with Jesus' approval, this church has one distinction that separates it from all the other churches. It has the key of David. Now, this church is the hundredfold church. Notice that in some of the other churches, he said, there are some here who do not have their garments stained. Church at Sardis. There were some, I don't want to take too much time, but it says there were some there that were doing the correct thing, but there were the majority, including the pastor, had a rebuke. So Pergamos, Thyatira, those ones were even, they were eating things sacrificed to idols. So that was, they had serious problems. Okay? All right? And then you see the church at Ephesus, where it's the church at Smyrna is the other one that comes very close. Okay? Where it says that, I know your works, but you have I know your poverty, but it writes in bracket, but you are rich. Which is a slight correction that you shouldn't be like that. This is how you should be. However, I'll give you strength to be faithful unto the end. It's as if they ran their course, but their works were not complete. Philadelphia is the church that all the works are complete and all the saints make it. Nobody is left behind. Pastor and lady, it becomes a generation. I and the children. God have given me for signs and wonders. So that is the nature of the Philadelphia church. Now, keys, as we know, grant access or deny access. So when God is saying that, I'll shut the door, no man come, he's saying that he will use the key of David to shut the door to certain things that should have come and open the door into the next phase or give access to David into his destiny. This is why the key is very important. The other churches did not have the key. And it's important to know how they got the key. Look at verse 8. Verse 8. I know thy works. That's why it's works and the key of David. The works were important. Because his house says, behold, I have set before thee an open door. How was the door opened? With the key of David. It was the key of David that opened the door. And no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. So the works were necessary and helped the Philadelphia Christians to keep his word. And when they kept his word, they consequently had the experience of knowing his name. So, there are many works, but there are works So you have quantity of works, you have quality of works. There, you must have the right quality of works in the right quantity to be in Philadelphia. You must have the right quality of works in the right quantity to be able to be a Philadelphia Christian. We're going to Philadelphia. We are Philadelphia Christians in Jesus' name. Our parents are Philadelphia parents. We are the Philadelphia church. But you know that God doesn't make any assumptions. So you must not assume too. You must make sure, and we must make sure that we are truly part of that Philadelphia church. Not because we attend the Philadelphia, because you can attend the Philadelphia church and be a minor Christian because the works are not complete. You can be a Laodicea Christian because you refuse to obey instruction, but you are physically attending the church. So it's not the church you attend, it is the works that you have. Amen. It is the works that, thank you, Holy Spirit. All right, amen. So it's the, so see the process. Works, keeping the word. Let's say together, works, keeping his word, knowing his name or character, and access into glory or access into destiny. So basically, our destiny is in our hands. Amen. Under the Holy Spirit, under covering. Now, what is this key? Look at Matthew 16, verse 17 to 19. What is this key? Matthew 16, please. Right. Thank you. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Now, a very important phrase I want you to notice. Where is the Father? He's in heaven. You will see that in this scripture. The Father is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Next verse. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of where? Heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Next verse. Right. So then the child disciples that you should tell no one. So what are we saying here? The key is the key of revelation. Revelation knowledge. In the case of the Philadelphia church, is epignosis. It's not just revelation in part. It is precise, perfect, exact, complete knowledge. And that knowledge is only entrusted to spiritual fathers. That is spiritual fathers who are walking with God. Lord, I look at Luke 6:45 because that's important. Luke 6:45, just quickly, just hit it. A good man. That's why I say good man. I say that man is a good man. It's not he's doing good works. He's doing certain works that make him good. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And the evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is evil, for out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. So, when he says a good man, he's really talking about a good heart. As the man thinking in his heart, so is he. So, he's talking about a man whose heart is humble. Because it is that humility, Bible says, with the lowly is wisdom. Proverbs 11 verse 2. It is that humility that allows the man to tap. That's the access. The access is the heart. It allows the man to tap into the good treasure and bring out that good treasure. So from that good treasure, that's what Peter scratched the surface of. And he got down and got, just a very well done, we're on the right path. So he's talking about people that not only, Bible says, counsel in the heart of man is like deep water. A man of understanding will do what? Draw it out. So there are some things you need to do to draw it out. But it must exist. The heart must have access. This is the key. The heart must have access. It must be touching water. I don't know how you have to explain how, you know, if you have a well and you throw the bucket in, the bucket must hit water.
Otherwise, there's nothing coming out. True or false?
Yeah, it's the same thing. You know, sometimes the water of God, the deep water of God, Bible says, deep calleth unto deep. It is deep. And the person, thank you, sir. The person that digs deep is the person that can draw it out. So there are two problems here you must see. That first of all, must the fact that the person must have a heart that touches the word. Bible says, wherefore is there a price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom, seeing he has no heart? Proverbs 17:16. Give that to me. 17:16. Proverbs 7. Wherefore is there a price in the hand of a fool? So he wants to get the wisdom. He's ready to pay the price. Yet, he is not getting it because the wisdom, the heart is not connected. So anything he's doing is coming empty. It's like he's throwing the bucket into the well and it's not touching water. So he's pulling out, he's not talking from the wisdom of God, he's talking from the wisdom of sense. This is why it's important. Okay, let's go back to the book, all right, to Matthew 16. So we see here that the Father in heaven is the one that gives precise, exact, complete, and progressive revelation. And that Father is in heaven, and that revelation grants us access ultimately into the dominion of Christ. And of the Christ nature of Christ, because he says that I will give you the kingdom. Next verse, verse 18. 18. 18. Thank you. The 19, I beg your pardon. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. So the kingdom of heaven is the dominion. It's the dominion of the King God in heaven upon our spirits, souls, bodies. Soul involves the will, the mind, emotions, and the body, and our circumstances, and the very air that surrounds us. So that you can bring the kingdom down to such a way that it exists totally, spirit, soul, body, and in the air. So in your space, the kingdom reigns. You can do things from that space and make the kingdom of God real to people that are not in that space, but because they are with you, they can contact God in that space. That's our destiny in Jesus' name. Amen. Bible says, but if I cast out the devil by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is upon you. We're going to get there in Jesus' name, brethren. Amen. We're going to get there. So that's what God is saying. And the same thing that the kingdom does is that same key that brings the kingdom down, he also shuts the door. Because he said that I will keep thee from the hour of temptation. So that door, when the devil wants to come in, no, God will shut the door. And when it's time for you to enter your destiny, God will open the door. So you are unstoppable. We truly are. If we truly live with the works, if we do the Philadelphia works in the quantity that we should do it. If you are on the right path and you do less than quantity, to that degree, you will get something, but you won't get everything that you're supposed to get. So this is to motivate us to go deeper. Amen? And we're going to go deeper in Jesus' name. All right. So we see that. All right? All right. So we see that the key is to enable us to have access to the kingdom in heaven. So the heaven experience, because really we are in heaven. Look at Ephesians 1:3. I don't know whether you know it. I know you wake up live in Bodija, you may live in Akweta, you may live in Lagos, but the truth is that you are in heaven by God because you are in Christ. Amen. Bible says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with what? All spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. This is a specific location. It is in heavenly places and in Christ. So when you are in heavenly places, you must still get to in Christ. That's the exact address of those blessings. It is in Christ. So you won't get all the blessings if you are in heavenly places but you're not in Christ. Because the Bible is very precise. He's very present. He's talking about the fact that until we have the blessings potentially, because we're seated with Father in heaven, versus positionally by faith in Christ. Because when Christ rose up from the dead and went up to heaven, we were in Him. Okay, so, but when we are in Him, in the kingdom, we are babies. But we are now supposed to grow from baby through to little child, from little child through to young man, from young man to father, and be made perfect in Christ Jesus. It is there that He has commanded the blessing. That's where it's going. Or if you are under somebody who already enjoys the blessing, thank God for our fathers. Give them a super hand. Amen. All right. That's why you have to follow. You have to be careful who you are following. Someone who has the fruit of good treasure. So that it's a win-win. You are under them to get the borrowed anointing. And as you are faithful, then you get the full anointing. So I mean, that's God's plan for us. Okay? So we see that this is the conversation, and this is where we are. Now look at Philippians 3:15. And this is the warning that God has given us. Philippians 3, verse 15. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. It's talking about mind. Okay, it's bringing out the issue of the mind. Next verse. So the way we are minded is important. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. So it's talking about walk and mind. Walk and mind. Started with mind and expanded it, that your walk is what really affects your mind. All right, next verse, verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me. It's very important who you are following. And mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. So there are two categories of people that are walking. You must be careful to choose your example, because your example will affect you. It's very key. All right, next verse, verse 18. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and even now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. He's describing their walk. Next verse. Whose end is destruction, whose God is in their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. He's just giving you a breakdown that the way they walk and what they mind is going to affect their end. And you can know them by knowing what they glory in and who their God is. They are Christians, brethren. This is the synagogue of Satan. It's the same synagogue of Satan in Revelation, where it says that they say they are Jews but do lie, because they are enemies of the cross of Christ. Verse 20. Verse 20. So the cross, you can say the cross is a landmark. It's a major landmark on the way to becoming like Christ. If you are walking every day, you must be walking carrying the cross. If you are not carrying the cross, maybe you are on another way. Daily. You must be carrying the cross daily. Like he says, Luke 9:23. Let's turn there quickly. Just go there and come back, because I think it's very important. Luke 9:23. And he said unto them, all. That's very important. Thank you, Holy Spirit. All the saints. So he said it to all the seven churches. Not all obeyed. Only Philadelphia obeyed all. Said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. So if you claim to be following him and you did not deny yourself, or you are not taking up your cross, guess what? You are not following him. QED, the scripture. Okay, so this is the description. What does it mean when we say deny himself? What do you mean? It means that you put God first. It's something you set. You set it. Okay? Now, when you set it, you now have to make sure it remains set. Because you can set something and it will shift. And Jesus set something And he didn't. I mean, when he came to the Garden of Gethsemane, he said he knew already that this was the will of God. You know, he told the Pharisees that I have a destiny to fulfill. So he was going towards it. But when he actually got there, that setting, there was pressure from outside that was trying to change the setting. So he had to, thank you. So he had to fall on his face and say, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass. What he has been living for, what he has set every day up until now. You see, there's no room to be complacent. All the way, all the time, we have to keep setting. And because at that point, the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, he had to get to the point where my soul is sorrowful unto death. It's like everything in me is against this thing. My mind, my emotions, my body is, I'm just, everything is not, I'm not happy. Things are not the way they normally are. I don't know whether I feel like that sometimes. You know, sometimes we feel like, you know, you're not feeling the way you normally feel. You're not, you know, things are not the way you normally expect them to be. You need to look for the setting. And then pray yourself into the setting that God has already given you. Don't say, because this is how I'm feeling. Hey, well, worry me. Did God say that's what you should do? The Bible says labor to enter into rest. Pastor, labor to enter into rest. So I mean, you can rest and it's not the will of God. I've seen our spiritual fathers, sometimes they come to prayers and pastor is blowing his nose. Okay? Sometimes mommy is coming to prayer and you can feel that she's not, but she's in prayers. Why? So that, because it's something you set. You don't let everything and anything change the setting. It's a constant battle that you have to deny yourself. Then you take up your cross so that the denial that you said, this is what I want to do, you will eventually do it. And that's how we follow. Amen. All right. So let's go back to Philippians 3:20, verse 20. For our conversation is where? In heaven. So you can be, this is how Jesus Christ said, the Son of Man, which is in heaven. He's talking about conversation, way of life, your walk. So you are walking as if you are in heaven, even though physically and positionally you are on the earth. So for our conversation is in heaven, from whence we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember that the blessing is where? In heavenly places where? In Christ. So when you are in the heavenly places, you still have to keep looking for more of Christ. Because everything is in Christ. It must have its meaning in Christ. Its fullness is in Christ. So when our conversation is in heaven, we don't relax. We're now looking. Bible says, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of the Lord. So we're looking and we're here. So there's something we're looking for. Okay, so today, Lord, how can I fulfill more? How can I obey more? How can my heart be more pure, be more humble? So the fact that not I have prayed, so everything now is automatic. Nothing is automatic. You have to keep looking. Verse 12. Verse 21. I beg your pardon. Verse 21. Who shall change? So this is the assurance, brethren, that if your conversation is in heavenly places, this is the works now. The works are making your walk put you in the heavenly places. Okay? So if you are in the heavenly places, you know, and you are there, then that being heavenly places, and you are looking, that's revelation now. That's the light. You know, in Philippians, there are three beholds. There's the first behold. I said before, you an open door. Then there's the behold. It's levels of light. It's levels of light. You know, light, light, light. So he's talking about the fact that if you keep pressing into Christ, this will be your experience and my experience. Amen. that he will change our vile body, that he may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he's able to subdue all things unto himself. So the power of God will be flowing in measures that you can tolerate and carry. Yes, who? Because you have to be able to carry. You know, the Lord doesn't want to blow your stabilizer. The Bible says the exceeding eternal weight of glory. So he does it. He told the Israelites, said, you won't occupy the land once. You will occupy the land as you can. Though that the beasts of land will not devour you. So this same thing, that there is a gradual process that brings you to a certain point. There is an instant suddenly that takes you through. Amen. But that's what he's saying. He's saying that, brethren, you know, you should understand that there is power where all the works and where you are denying yourself and taking to a cross, there is real raw power taking place in everything. Look at Revelation chapter 12. Let's read from verse 7. Revelation 12. God will have mercy on us in Jesus' name. But then we're going to make it in Jesus' name. Amen. But it's just that we need to keep and let our hearts be slack. Amen. And there was war in the heaven. And Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels. Next verse. And prevailed not. Neither was their place found anymore. Where? In heaven. You know, when we are in heaven and we fight, we push them down. We push them down. We dislodge and take over that place and control it. Next verse. And that great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world, and was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Of course, now this hasn't happened literally, but it is going to happen literally. But spiritually speaking, there is an experience where, first of all, you must understand that there are three heavens. There's the atmospheric heavens, there is the third heavens, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where it says that a man that was caught up to the third heavens. Okay, so there's the third heavens where God is, there's the atmospheric heavens where what we call heavens, where planes fly. In fact, planes are not even flying in heaven, they're flying in the clouds. Okay, the heavens are still above the solar space, is the heaven, that's the first heaven. Okay, and then there's the second heaven where Satan has decided he's going to occupy. When he was cast out of heaven, that was where he went. All right, so we have been set up with Christ in heavenly places. And we are supposed now to ensure that this second heavens, in our experience, is cast down. In your this practical, you know, David lived New Testament realities in the Old Testament by revelation. That's why the key is a key of David. Because David, he lived above his time. He put the Ark of the Covenant in his backyard. Moses didn't do that. That was not the instruction. But David did some things. That's why we must understand works and the key of David. David did some things that allowed him to be able to do that. And when some things came his way, then God had mercy on him. Okay? All right. So let's go back to Revelation chapter 10 now. I believe it's 12:10. And I had a loud voice. Where? In heaven. The loud voice is in heaven. Is not in the earth, is in heaven. So if you are not in heaven, you may not hear. This is why, you know, by your faith, you must be living in the heavens. When you are praying, we must be praying from the heavens. It's something we must see and live the reality of. I know we are on earth, but you must be looking for and be seeing the reality of it in the heavens. Okay? And love us, and it says, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is where? Cast down. Which accuser before our God day and night. So we see here, pastors explained it beautifully, even in one of the weekly remarks that Pastor Lauli posted 2 or 3 days ago, I think yesterday or day before yesterday, was clearly salvation is born again. So when Satan is cast down, the veil over our eyes is open, and we get born again. That's what really gets us born again. Okay? Then the next thing is strength. Pastor Wale shared that with us, Isaiah 52 verse 1. Awake, awake, O Zion. Put on strength. You put on spiritual strength. And that spiritual strength, thank you very much. Put on thy beautiful garment. The strength is needed to put on the beautiful garments. It takes strength to put on beautiful garments. O Jerusalem, the holy city, for hence there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. All right, let's go back. Thank you very much. Okay, strength. The kingdom of our God. All right, that's love. Love is the kingdom. Amen. All right, no, Romans 14, 17. Let's go there quickly. Amen. Romans 14, 17. For the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So this is the kingdom. The kingdom is the total dominion of God's righteousness, peace, and joy, or the Christ nature and the Christ character dominating spirit, soul, and body. And then when there's no space again, it moves into the air and dominates the very air. And then you have a halo on your head. Amen. All right. That emoji will become a reality in Jesus' name. We use it to send to people, but one day you really, really have the power of God in the air around you. Amen. A force field of life. It's actually there. It's there by faith. But now it will manifest for people to see. Amen. All right, so we see, and then of course the power of Christ, talking about the power of the Spirit without measure. So that is what the Philadelphia Church is experiencing. It's experiencing progressively, through the works, is experiencing dominion of the Christ nature. All right, and that dominion of Christ nature is taking it into the glory of God and the fullness of destiny. There was no buts in the testimony of the Philadelphia Church, and that's going to be our portion in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we see, so now you can see from this scripture, let me just share this with you. James chapter 3 verse 15. James chapter 3, thank you Holy Spirit. James 3 verse 15 verse 16, next verse. No. Give me verse 14. Where it says that if any man wise and endued with knowledge among you, wise and endued with knowledge, let him show out of his works. Yes, verse 13. Thank you very much. Right, let's read it together. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. The Bible's talking about walk, and we're talking about walk, conversation is in heaven. Now is, you can see it here. He's now giving you the key. This is the description of the Philadelphia Christian, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge. It's not enough to be wise, brethren. Your wisdom must be unfolding. Because that's the nature, is manifold, it's progressive. Our inheritance is obtained by increasing light. When Elisha was asked that what does he want, and he said that, I want a double portion. He has told him, said, if you see me, light, you only get the, let's put it this way, brother, what you see by revelation is what you experience. If you don't have it by revelation, you can't experience it. That makes quite good sense, doesn't it? Okay, so it's not enough head knowledge. We must allow the head knowledge to become heart knowledge through humility. So there are works that we must be doing that must be keeping our heart under, because the heart has a natural tendency to be proud because of the nature of the devil that is there. But if we do those works, we dominate that heart, we cleanse that heart. Amen. So that the heart now, then after a while, the heart remains permanent in that position by reason of time.
Amen.
Amen. So that's what goes. So look, give me back that scripture. So we see three things. All right. He says, show out of his works. No, James 3:13. Quickly. Thank you. Right. Let him show. So this is what we want to see now. This is the walk we need to see. Let him show out of a good conversation. What does the good man do? Out of the good treasure of his heart. So he's talking about, he's not talking about just good. He's talking about godliness. A godly conversation. Godliness, his works. So the way we will see your works is your godliness. It's not that, oh, but I prayed. Mm-hmm. We must see the effect. He's not marking the roster. He's seeing the effect. We must see. That's what he says, let him show out of a good conversation his works with what? Meekness of wisdom. So there are three things there. We saw in Proverbs 17 that the man doesn't have a heart for wisdom. We saw that earlier. So we can see that there is a meek heart there. Isn't that? So that's number one. Then there is the wisdom that the meek heart attracts. Is number two, isn't it? Oh, okay. And of course, you know, with the end result of that wisdom that the meek heart attracts is the good conversation. So it's heart, wisdom, and then the fruit of the Spirit or walking in love. All right. So, of course, the works are there. Because it is the works that are keeping the heart the way it is. So that the heart can remain relevant. These are the works. Of course, we know that David was the son of Jesse, a man after God's own heart. Give us that. Acts 13, 22. Acts 13, verse 22. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king. To whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Brethren, you know this whole walk is about heart. It's heart too. It's heart. The works we do must ultimately have an effect on our hearts. We shouldn't do it for doing sake. It's like a cycle that pastor has given us. Okay, let's look at it. Give me seven pillars, please. Seven pillars of wisdom. Okay, well, I'm sure they didn't expect that, but okay, but while they're getting that, okay, with the book behind me, thank you. All right, so we see here the fear of God, honesty and humility of heart. That attracts the mercy and the grace of God. That gives a measure of life. The compassion of God. Mercy is the compassion of God that comes upon us. Is unmerited. Comes on from the outside. Okay? No, to deliver us from destruction or to help us to be faithful or to enable us to triumph at three levels. Grace is the compassion of God that comes when we confess our sins and we repent and the blood of Jesus cleanses our hearts. There is a measure of the life of that comes on the inside. That is grace. Now, the measure is the key. Is the degree of the honesty and the degree of the humility that affects the degree of the measure. So you can say that the light, the degree of the light is dependent on the degree of the fear of God. And that's the key there. All right, and that the Philadelphia Christians had. I'm not sure the Laodiceans had it. Because God told them that they should buy of him gold tried in the fire, which is a type of this kind of heart. This is the heart of gold. And it is when you have a heart of gold that your eyes are anointed with eye salve. Because then you can see. That's revelation. So you can see that it is this kind of heart. Thank you. I counsel, because if you put everything together, you get a complete picture. You can see, I counsel of thee, buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that's the love, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. And were they blind? No, but they were seeing certain, the Bible says, he who mind earthly things. They were using earthly things as an indicator of spiritual spirituality. You know, and it was wrong. They were being deceived. Okay? So God doesn't want us to be deceived. We need to be using light. You need to have light. God will give us light. Increasing light. I know you have light now, but you must be having light constantly. Like mommy says, it's not your past record. Oh, I used to. It's now. It's current. You know, and that's why we keep doing the works. And we keep looking for the Lord our Savior. It's an attitude of mind. Amen? Okay, fine. So, right. So, who glory? Who mind? We've seen that. Who mind everything? So, three things that I want to bring out here, brethren, that are important, are motives. Because these are the things that prevent the light from shining. These are the things that they clog, they make the heart dense. So the heart is not plowed, and so it cannot, Bible says, rend your heart, not your garments. So there's some things that we need to rend or change, and they're within the heart. And one of them is the motive. John 1:38. Jesus asked the disciples. They were coming after him. He said, what seek ye? That's an obvious question. Why are we following you? Following me for what? So brethren, we need to ask ourselves, what are we following Jesus for? Are we following him for bread and fish? John 6:26-27. John 6:26-27. Quickly. Verily, verily. That means this is a statement that cannot be shaken. No, imagine God telling this will not be our portion in Jesus' name. A negative verily, verily. That is the one, you know, God, you find difficult to accept, but this is verily true. This is not be our portion. We must accept this and change so that this scripture will stop applying to us in Jesus' name. Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me, not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Some people seek God for physical blessing. Now, physical blessing is not wrong, but it should not be the main reason why you seek God. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom. Okay? But notice that what he said there, he says, very, very, you know, next verse 27. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed with the Spirit without measure. So what you seek, you labor for. What you seek, you labor for. So if you just want to check how much effort and labor goes into natural things vis-a-vis spiritual things. Easily you can tell. Alright? So God will help us. We correct that in Jesus' name. It doesn't apply to you. Praise God. You've grown. Amen. but I ask that you please check. Amen. Just to make sure. Alright? So, blessings. Alright? The next thing that we seek is power and influence. We seek power and influence. It is in Jesus who. That's the thing. We seek. Because, you know, everybody, we have the drum major instincts. You know, and it's important to crucify it. That I. So anytime we see anything, like Simon the sorcerer, he got born again. And then he saw the disciples, you know, doing miracles. And he said, the next thing he thought was, this should be me. Let me give you money so you can give me this power. That's the heart. You know, always wanting to use whatever it is. Not for blessing, no. Not to be rich. It's more so I can have power over people. So I can have influence over people. So me too, I can stand and be, say, I'm preaching. Say, this is my church. My ministry. My business. God will have mercy on us. Amen. Alright. So what he's saying here, he's saying what really is talking about the fact that, you know, we put Jesus above everything else. We should seek him. Look at Philippians 3:7-13. Okay. So we're talking about motive, but it's so important. Philippians 3 from verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. It's a deep statement, brethren. Verse 8. Yea, doubtless. This guy is far gone. It says doubtless. That means, forget it. This is far behind me. Without any doubt, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. This is not revelation knowledge. This is revelation and experiential knowledge. He's counting it. He says all things. So it's going to cost you your reputation. It's going to cost you your standing with people. Your standing with family. Sometimes. It will. That is the denial. That is there. You are willing to let him be Lord until he, because whatever it is, he's going to give it back. He's going to give it back. As you can see, you will see further down the line. You know, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Pastor Wega and a few of us, even if you don't clap, it's still true. All right? We need to. Christ is a prize you strive to win. If it was something that you sat back and somebody came and gave you, you wouldn't appreciate it. But what happens is that he gives you the initial thing that we need. He gets us born again, gives us the blood, the word, the spirit, the name, everything that we need. And then we now get up from where we are and we press in to try to win Christ. It's a race. But we're not racing with anybody. We're racing against time to win Christ. But when you win that pearl of great price, you get everything else. In him are hid all the treasures. All the treasures. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And the whole world operates on wisdom and knowledge. The kind of phone I used to have 20 years ago is different now. The boys who were millionaires then and the boys who are millionaires now are not the same. Wisdom made the difference. It drew a line. And now some people are they are on the side of ease, and some people are on the side of wars. May we be on the side of ease in Jesus' name. Our light must rise constant. The Bible says our light rise in obscurity. You know, so our light must rise. So we're talking about the fact that, you know, it's important to aim for that prize, at Christ. Okay, next verse. Next verse. Philippians 3 verse 9 now, I believe. Philippians 3 verse 9. Okay. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law. Now this is the key. But that which is of, through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Now faith works by love. So what he's saying here is that you don't have a righteousness that, oh, I've done it. I've done it. Which is of the law. You must have a righteousness of, you must have the actual experience. The spiritual forces must be operative in our will, in our mind, in our emotions, in our bodies, in our circumstances. That's the faith he's talking about. And makes it very clear. Next verse. That I may know him. That's the motive. Knowing him. That I may know him. And the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering being made conformable unto his death. Next verse. That's just one part of the story. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Brethren, anytime you're going through something that looks negative, remember that there's something positive coming out of it. When, if it's for Christ's sake, I'm not talking about something that you went and did of our own. Even those ones, Seth. Abraham, God, but that was Abraham. Now Muslims should follow him. No, twice Abraham lied, and twice he got blessed for lying. And that doesn't mean go down and lie and do likewise. That's not what the Bible says. You know, but what I'm trying to say is that God is merciful in that sometimes even your mistakes, God will use them in our favor. Turn it around.
Okay? So it says, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the body. But notice that it takes power. It takes power to fellowship with his suffering. It takes power. You know, the kind of suffering where Isaac laid himself on the slab and daddy tied his hands and took the knife and Isaac didn't fight. Brethren, it was power that kept him there. Light in his mind and power that kept him on that slab. So to be a living sacrifice, you must have revelation and power working simultaneously at the same time so that you can do the things God wants you to do and then you can get the blessing or the reward that comes out of that. Amen. This is the will of God for us. Amen. All right. Verse 12. We're beginning to close. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. You see the mentality I'm saying. It's not something that you do and you say, oh, I've stopped, I've gotten there. But it's a constant moving on. If that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. So there is a desire. That's the motive. To keep pushing. You know, the zeal of the Lord that consumes us. It's a driving force that keeps driving you. You want more of him. More humility. More wisdom, more temperance, more love, more power. You want so that you can do more of what he did. Not necessarily raise the dead. That's going to come later by the grace of God. You know, but at the level that you are, there will be miracles at that level. Amen. But he's saying that you. Let's go to the next verse so you can see. Go back to next verse. Thank you. Verse 13. Yes, next verse. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth on those things which are before. God is saying that there is a forgetting. Now, what you need to do is you need to understand, you know, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forth on those things that are before. When you are in a place, your man will tell you, your mind will tell you, you've tried. I don't know whether it's only me. You've tried. You are even better than those. In fact, you know, you've really, I can see the strides you've made. You need to forget. You know, when Jesus would do miracles and heal them all. But after he would draw away. What is he doing? He's forgetting. Because the fact that he's done all those miracles doesn't mean that something else is coming down the road that he's not going to need. To be in constant, fresh, present tense fellowship with God. So you forget. You have to leave the crowd because sometimes the crowd can intoxicate. Want to make you a king. You won't need. They will promote you even without you having deserved the promotion. But your conversation is where? In heaven. You're not waiting for what men are going to say. You forget the things that are behind. You reach for the things that are before. Next verse. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So what we're looking for now is in Christ. Not among men. Now, everything we're looking for now is in Christ. So we redefine our ecosystem. You know, ecosystem is is where you are living. You know, what sustains life. What sustains us is not so much the physical things that we're having. Thank God for those things. And we give God glory for those things. But we put them aside in our mind and allow more of what is in Christ Jesus to motivate and satisfy us. Our motivation and our satisfaction must come from there. That's what God is saying. Amen. Then, of course, we now do the works. The works, okay? And we've seen them. Let's look at them. Give me seven pillars again. These are the works. As we begin to close. These are the works. Thank you. All right. And of course, right there after number one, because number one is very key, because we need that heart for wisdom. Amen. But then after that, we need power. And that's where number two comes in. Battle prayer. And that's where good morning Jesus prayers have come up. To not the one where you are trying. You are trying your best, but your best is not good enough. but the one where all of us now are pulling ourselves together as one family. And we are all now connected together to pray together in the morning. It's just the wisdom of God. Thank God for spiritual fathers. It's a master stroke. And it's having an incredible effect on our lives and our homes. We are changing. And we are still going to change further. Amen. Amen. But that's where it's coming from. You know, so we do battle prayer where we now war against wicked spirits in the heavenly places that we read in Revelation chapter 12. You know, break their influence and their power over our souls, over our bodies, over our circumstances. Then we pull down the strongholds inherent in that soul. We cast down the filthiness, the superfluity of naughtiness. You know, like mom said, the citadel of sin, the stronghold that Satan has hidden and said, this one, you cannot break it. Said, David, you cannot take this stronghold of Jebus. He said, that Jebus, and they went up by the water spouts. That's what we're doing now. We're taking the stronghold of Jebus. Amen. Yeah, and we become the city of David. The city of Zion, the city of the living God. That's what we're doing now. We're going up by the water spouts to take that. The devil has said, you cannot take it. It is to you, cannot take it. But brethren, we're going to take it. Not only take it, after we're taking it, we will sit down and have rest on every side. There will be no evil occurrence. Rest. So that's where the battle prayer comes in. But that's not all there is. We now need to add communion prayer all throughout the day, at least four times a day. Now, this is the quantity aspect that is important. And I suggest that you set a time on your watch or your clock, an alarm. Not the alarm that you ignore. Eh? Alarm that you say, because, you know, how many people know that? You can go through the whole day and just do it twice, and at the end, you say, but I was very busy, that's why. And, you know, oh, God will understand all that. And every day, God is understanding. Your quantity is not enough. So this day to ensure that all those things are in place, you set a time, the hour of prayer. You set it so that your four times is complete. When you are doing four times consistently, then you now set, you know, every hour. No, then you are not looking for every opportunity. In all that, there will be every temptation. There will be. If you have your watch telling you this is the hour, then you acknowledge God. You know, you ask God for mercy, which automatically confesses your sins and all that. And Jesus name, I have life. You pray in the spirit and you keep your mind active on the spiritual things in the spirit. You know, of love, joy, peace, long suffering. Look at what you're doing now. What are the challenges that you may face? Or what you are doing right now. You know, so you think, and you think, and when you think, you prepare yourself for what is coming. So when it comes, you don't overreact, you don't misbehave. You react, your reaction is correct, is in love. That's how it is. And you bind the devil. We do that, at least we know, we do that in the morning. We have to bind the devil at the beginning of the day and set our wills. We confess the word. We do that once every 6 hours. We know the scriptures. You know, Mark chapter 1, verse 35. You know, 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 13. Let's just look at 2 Samuel 6, verse 13, just because you need to look at scripture, okay? Confessing the word, meditating on the word, practicing the word. You know, all the. This is what makes Philadelphia the apple of God's eye. They keep the word. This is what it means to keep the word. You keep it in your mouth, you keep it in your heart, so that you can do it. That's Deuteronomy 30. All right. And it was so that when they bear the ark of the Lord, the glory of God, had gone six paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. Every six paces, one pace for 1 hour. What a word. Sacrifice oxen and fatlings. So you are talking about under apostolic covering. Apostolic covering. An apostolic instruction. Because the instruction, it is when you obey the instruction that the covering operates. Amen. God will help us in Jesus' name. All right. Next one.
We've seen binding the devil. We've seen confession of all. Yes, and David. Yeah, we're going to dance before the Lord with all of our hearts. Amen. All right. All right. The linen effort there is the heart. The heart is indicative of the heart. Amen. In life of David. All right. But let's go back. We need to come back to David. Let's go back. Let's finish up the seven pillars. And then we can. Thank you. All right. So confession of the word, meditation on the word, practicing of the word. Now, it's you can only practice what you have prayed about, bound the devil, and the word has been spoken and it's alive in our minds. This is where Bible reading comes in and Bible study. It's not for just for knowledge. No. Bible says they knew him in the breaking of the bread. When you are studying with God, God breaks the bread of the message to you as a person. And in that breaking, you know him. Experience is the key, not just the revelation. Sometimes it is there that you get the revelation of the how to overcome certain things. Because it will be open to you because you took the effort to go extra. God will help us to go the extra mile. So Bible talks about press towards the mark. This is the pressing. It's the pressing. You press in study. You press in reading. You create time for it. Don't tell any stories, brethren. It's not because the more you do it, the more light you have. And that light is the key. It's the key. These are the works that we need to do to allow the key to be a vibrant present tense key. You know, mommy told us to go on the fast. Fast was in March, wasn't it? Somewhere in March. 21 day fast. You know, that one's not good morning Jesus prayer now. It's another light too. I don't know whether you understand. There was a light for the 21 day fast and a strength that came to fulfill it. There's another light for this one now that we're in now. And there will be yet another one. So it's progressive. So there is nowhere to get to where you sit down and say, oh, I have all the light I have. No. Because we keep pressing toward the mark for the prize. But believe you me, brethren, if we're all pressing, we all can get the prize. Philadelphia Church got the prize. Everybody got the prize. He says them all. If any man will. So your prize, it doesn't stop my prize. I can even help you on your way to your prize so that all of us get there together. That's unity. Amen. And that's what we do when we pray. United praying in the spirit. There's an intermingling of spirits. Get hooked up on that good morning Jesus prayers. It's that somebody's strength will strengthen your weakness. And just get up. And God is looking for the generation. An intact, complete generation. Not anybody missing. Nobody will be missing in Jesus' name. And of course, fasting and prayer, which links right back up to humility. Okay, fine. So we see that this is the mindset. Now just give us examples as we begin to close. If we look at 2 Samuel 15, talking about the key of David. So David is an excellent example. To just look at this as we round up. 2 Samuel chapter 15. Give me verse 30. David made a mistake. Alright. And the mistake had consequences. But again, you must understand that your heart, like I said, is so critical because it affects everything with us. It affects everything. So even though he had made a mistake, you know, and all that, his heart at that time was still more important than the mistake. And was going to affect how the mistake played out in his life. Brethren, I don't know how many times you've fallen. A just man falls 7 times. Amen? But he rises again. You must have a heart to continue. Have a heart to go on. Don't throw it all up and say, I'm not good. I'm no good. I can't do it again. And you throw up your hand there. And that's what Satan wants us to do. But we must not do that. Amen? You must hold on to God. In every situation, just hold on. Hold fast. Don't let any man take your crown. That's what it means. Hold fast unto the Lord. Hold fast unto the instructions that are life unto us. We hold fast to it because it doesn't matter what mistake. No, I feel too tired. This thing happened, so I cannot pray. Don't stay there for a long time. Don't stay there for a long time. No, I cannot pray when I'm feeling so bad. Be looking to get up. Be looking to cry out, you know, Lord, help me. That's what happened to David. Look at 2 Samuel. And David, yes, went up by the ascent, thank you, sir, of Mount Olivet, and wept as he went up. He wasn't happy. He was feeling very bad. His own son disgraced him publicly. You know, and not only that, I mean, he had lost the throne that God gave him and had his head covered as a sign of sorrow. And he went barefoot in the bush, in the forest. All right? But he was sensitive. In spite of the fact that he was suffering, his heart was still open to God and sensitive. Barefoot. Thank you. And all the people that was being covered, every man his head. And they went up, weeping as they went up. This was a bunch of sorrowful people suffering a negative situation. Next verse. And one told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. Now, Ahithophel, you know what the Bible says about Ahithophel? That if you ask counsel from Ahithophel, it was like asking counsel at the mouth of God. So it was like, the next segment will be, So that should be your natural, but we're not natural. We're not natural. David, just in his heart, I'm sure, you know, we read it immediately afterwards, but I'm sure he may not have answered immediately. You know, Jesus, when they asked him, he didn't answer immediately. But then don't answer immediately. Key into God, and, Lord, help me. Ahithophel too. And he prayed a prayer. He said, and David said, O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. When he prayed that prayer, God looked at his heart, checked his account, saw that by reason of habit, over time, he had a bank and reservoir. So God said, no, let's release the key into motion. So the key shut the door. And there was now an outplay of circumstances. No, Bible says, we shut the door and no man can open. We open the door, no man can shut. So he shut the door and no man could open. Now, the Bible says the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. So God technically could not turn Ahithophel's wisdom into foolishness. Technically. But God is God. The God that made the pencil has the razor. Brethren, God is God, though. Without violating Ahithophel's free will. He just, look at the next verse. And it came to pass that when David was come to the top of the mount, where he worshipped God, so he was praying. Paul and Silas, what were they doing? Pray. He don't give up. You know, behold, Hushai the Archite came to meet him with his coat rent and earth upon his head. Same thing. So, next verse. Unto whom David said, if thou passest on me, then thou shalt be a burden unto me. Next verse. But if thou return to the city and say unto Absalom, I will be thy servant, O king, as I have been with thy father's servant, down to bottom line, David gave him the wisdom. Then mayest thou for me defeat the counsel of Ahithophel. He was God using the key. The key was emotion. He was talking revelation. And God did exactly that. He didn't turn Ahithophel's counsel to foolishness. He just made Hushai's counsel better accepted by the people that were there at that time. So when Ahithophel said it was, which was bang on correct, Hushai said, the counsel of Ahithophel is not good at this time. It's a time thing. Tell anybody, it's a time thing. The key must be operative at the right time. It's at the right time. It's a time thing. So he said, no, it's not a good time. He said, no, you know, that is a warrior. So he gave him the opposite counsel, giving David more time. And Absalom said, the castle of Hushai the Archite is better. It's God that did that. That was the key of David. But you can see that the works had to be there. You know, the worshipping and praying had to be there. The walking barefoot with the type of fellowship and communion with God had to be there. Amen. So, brethren, there's hope in Jesus' name. Amen. And of course, no, when David was going to build the temple, you know, well, I mean, he just spoke to God. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 7. Just two examples. 2 Samuel chapter 7. We're seeing one negative turn to positive, and then we see one taking further into his destiny. 2 Samuel 7. Verse 1. And it came to pass, when the king sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies. Brethren, what will you do when God gives you rest from all your enemies? Huh? Magbagov. Chimma wofubo. I will go to this. I will go to that. I will do this. Look at what David did do. This is the kind of heart after God's heart. Next verse. The king said unto Nathan the prophet, see now, I dwell in an house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. Who am I to God? See where I live, see where God lives. So he was seeking after God. Everything he wanted was already done. Yet he was pressing toward the mark. I want to make this God happy. I want to fulfill his desires. I want him to see the travail of his soul concerning me. That was his heart. You can see that what the heart did. Next verse. And Nathan said to the king, go do all that is in thy heart, for the Lord thy God is with thee. Next verse. And it came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan saying, next verse. Go and tell my servant David, thus saith the Lord, shall thou build me a house for me to dwell in? Now, how did that thing come? His wisdom, his light, it came from God. Amen. But his heart was open to receive it. So, brethren, when we are free and when things are okay, it's not the time. There's nothing wrong with just spending time meditating in God's presence, making sure your prayers are where they should be, make sure your confessions have been done, you bound the devil, you're walking in love, you're fasting, and you are still fasting and leading a fasted life. There are no enemies, oh. You are still fasting and leading a fasted life as a lifestyle. That is what happened. And you can see that really was there that God was able to really help David fulfill his destiny. Amen. God will help us to finish well, finish our destiny, and finish in gold in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's bow our heads as we pray. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Let's talk to God. The works are key. They distinguish Philadelphia from all the other churches. But those works have to be done consistently over time, under covering of true apostolic and prophetic fathers. So we might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. And God would divide the land for an inheritance for all of us. Not one missing. Every one of us standing in his own place. Talk to God to have mercy on us and help us with our hearts. Prepare that heart. Labor to keep that heart
with all diligence. As you determine, ask God for mercy to be faithful. Walk in sincerity. Walk in purity. Renounce those hidden things. They affect the heart, the grace, the mercy. And ultimately, it affects whether a door is open to you that should be open, or a door is shut that should be shut. Take my heart and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Next verse. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for Thee, swift and beautiful for Thee. Take my silver, take my silver and my gold, not a my would I withhold. Take my intellect and use every part as Thou shalt choose, every part as Thou shalt. Take my will, take my will, and make it Thine. It shall be no longer. Take my heart, take my heart. It is Thine own, and it shall be Thy royal throne. It shall be Thy royal throne. And take my love, take my love, now I pour. I feel measure. Take myself and I ever only, ever only, all for Thee. Ever only, all for Thee. Raise up our hand unto the Lord as a prayer of consecration, and our hands on our forehead. Pray and say, Heavenly Father, we confess our sins and so clean with the blood. In Jesus' name, we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father,
We come in order under the covering of our spiritual fathers, Lord, and of the Lord Jesus, the shepherd and the bishop of our souls. Thank you for your word that has come to us today, showing us that the key of David is given to those whose heart is perfect to do all of your will. Heavenly Father, I ask for mercy to be faithful, to continue to preserve, purify, and prepare my heart so that it will be a dwelling place for your truth, for your presence, for your love, for your mercy, for your glory, in the name of Jesus. And that you will help me to walk out my salvation with fear and trembling, so that my conversation will be in heaven, even though I am on the earth. That I will put on the beautiful garments of divine love, and by so doing, press deeper and deeper towards the mark for the prize of the high calling, as I look for the Lord Jesus Christ day after day, moment by moment. Help me, Father, to watch and pray faithfully and diligently, so that I'll be accounted worthy to press in and lay hold upon that prize. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the spirit. Rakokandea, Jeka Kumania, Rapa Kasove, Renanomo Pompakea, Kako Kasean, Rumbapo Andakai, Rapa Katan Dose, Jeke de Veberi Rup, Rene de Vedicaca, Wapa Paea, Jabasata, Rebecca, Rabapao, Pacatea, Jean Caravamas, Mapapa, Don Debeca, Don Facatando, Rebepeca, Rapa Papa, Rapa Pacata, Shakobea, Jeke de Veberio. Robo bobo pambai, kerobuka koam, kango leve puaka, koam bantaman, jekoam ban, ongedive, ropa baka, koko bekede, robo kotobes, jeke koko, makaka, rendevea, rapakato, reneneve, jenabaya, koramia, reboko, grolea, krokoko, jeke levebesa, rondevide, kronvikikidibeman. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, thank you for your mercies. Thank you so much for your great, precious mercies. Lord Jesus, thank you for your grace. Thank you for the covering of our fathers. Holy Spirit, thank you for your love and help. In Jesus' name.